side never stay.
At my direction, the United States Armed Forces conducted an extraordinary military operation in the capital of Venezuela. Overwhelming American military power, air, land, and sea, was used to launch a spectacular assault. And it was an assault like people have not seen since World War II, to bring outlaw dictator Nicolas Maduro to justice. This was one of the most stunning, effective, and powerful displays of American military might and competence in American history.
Good morning. Welcome to the show, Evan Gray. Great to have you here. It seems like you and I haven't chatted for a long time. I got knocked down before Christmas with whatever that bug is that was going around. Yes, I got my flu shot, but it did not stand in the way of whatever that was. It took me down hard for the week before, and I would say through Christmas. It was probably the better part of 9 days before I started feeling a little bit better. So really big thanks to Brent, to everyone that stepped in to kind of keep the show going through that time. Really appreciate Brent Lokes does such a great job, and I'm always appreciative of him sitting in the big chair. Really been a bit of a journey to get back to feeling healthy, but I feel great today, and we have got lots to talk about. I commiserated off the start of the show about the World Juniors. Oh, I wanted Canada. I wanted Canada in that gold medal game so bad, but we were outplayed. Yep, we had a couple of bad bounces. Yep, we hit a couple of posts. Yeah, we couldn't make good on two chances at a penalty shot, which doesn't happen every day. Nonetheless, Team Canada playing this afternoon, 3:30 for the bronze medal against Finland. It'll be Sweden and Czechia tonight battling it out for gold. We'll check in with Walker from the Green Zone a little bit later on today. Okay, what are your thoughts on what's going on here with the United States and Venezuela? We've had a couple of days to digest this. It was Saturday morning. We woke up. We found out the news. You just heard the clip. Frank played a piece of it for you there. Donald Trump held a news conference on Saturday morning, and we carried it live here on this radio station, where he talked about the execution of this military operation, although he kind of insinuated the military was there really to support law enforcement personnel because they were arresting the Venezuelan de facto president, Nicolas Maduro. I say de facto because you know he lost the election in 2024 but refused to leave the seat. Basically, he lost by, 30% is what it sounds like, and yet he had his people recount the ballots, and lo and behold, he says he won. So he has been running that country as a dictator, and there's been all kinds of problems. Look at millions of Venezuelans that have fled the country around the world, many of which in Canada, many of which in the United States. Look at how they're celebrating the fall of Maduro, right? They are very happy about this happening. Now, the question is, what was the mission? What's the goal? What's the end goal? And what's the authority that you had to execute it? I was talking to friends on the weekend, and I said, although I mean, I'm not a military guy, I've never been in the military, but did spend a number of years, obviously, in the police service. And if you think about, I was a critical incident commander for a number of years, so you're, you know, involved in an incident where maybe you're involving the SWAT team or a number of emergency service teams, and typically you would be putting together the blueprint, the plan for the execution of whatever the mission was. The mission is always going to be very clear. Our mission is succinct. Here's the line. Here's what we're hoping to achieve. And then right underneath that, here is the clearly understood authority we have to carry out the mission. You need that. The two things have to go hand in hand. Because then you are relying on a team of experts, of operational experts, in this case, military personnel, to execute the mission on the basis that they have the authority to do it. That's pretty basic stuff. So I've been searching And I'm not going to say I haven't been successful, because I do feel like there are different ways that you can say there is legal foundation for this to occur. And we've got a guest coming up later this morning that is going to talk about that. Even if you want to talk about Monroe, the Monroe Doctrine, which many people say, yep, that hasn't been used for years, but it has been used and it has been referred to. And there have been these corollaries that presidents of the United States since the early 1800s have kind of amended to the Monroe Doctrine. And many people suggest that Donald Trump is simply doing that here. Overall, I'm going to say I'm landing on the side of support of what we've seen, Nicolas Maduro's removal, and hopefully a transition to a safe and just democratic society in Venezuela is going to be a good thing for that country. But gosh, is there not so many spill-off conversations that come from this? What are the implications elsewhere? Does this set a precedent? Right away, Donald Trump last night on Air Force One is talking about Greenland, right? Well, that causes people to worry. Greenland isn't exporting drugs into the United States. What Donald Trump is saying, though, is they are surrounded by and soon to be controlled by Chinese or Russian vessels, and so it's a threat to the Western Hemisphere. Oh, sounds like some wording from the Monroe Doctrine when you start talking about it that way. What's the precedent there? What's the reaction from countries? The reaction from Canada could not have been more delicate, vanilla, more... Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about that. I've got a political panel coming up a little bit later on this morning. I want to know what you think. 1-877-332-8255. Is this the absolute worst thing that could have happened? Is this an absolute must have happened? Does it show strength? I want to know your thoughts. 1-877-332-8255. I'm going to start with Jack in Regina. Happy New Year, Jack. Thanks for calling in. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm glad you recovered. There's some nasty stuff going around, Evan.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to come down on the other side of the debate. I'm going to cut through all the gibberish about this. We have international rules-based order, or we do not. Over 80 years ago, the United States and all the countries that fought in Europe signed agreements with the United Nations and NATO and said countries cannot walk into other countries and take over by violent force. This does not cut it. We cannot do this kind of thing. And now we've got Trump saying, yeah, we did it. We're efficient. We have good military, the strongest in the world. There's no debate about that, Evan. But you cannot do this kind of thing. And now he's saying, well, what about Greenland? Mm-hmm. They're also desperate for fresh water in the United States. They've used up all their reservoirs, and they're going to go for Canada's water. We are on the brink of a bunch of chaos here, and they've got a bankrupt political system in the Congress and the Senate. This guy is out of control.
But so, Jack, don't leave me just yet, Jack, because, you know, you look back at the Monroe Doctrine was talked about back in 62, the Soviet missiles and getting them to withdraw from Cuba. If you think back to 89, Manuel Noriega arrested by the U.S. in Panama. I mean, they're not exact replicas, but this is not necessarily out on an island completely separate from actions that the United States have taken in some cases without congressional approval in the past.
The United States politically can manipulate their three levels of government and checks and balances to do what they want to do internationally. Like you have said, they've done it before and they're going to do it again. But this does not cut through international rules-based protection for everybody.
Appreciate the call, Jack. 1-877-332-8255. Number of texts coming in. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. There's no absolutes. That's the thing. There's no absolutes. And I got into, I'm not going to say an argument, but I got into a heated discussion because clearly I'm a guy that's not necessarily saying this is all bad. Yes, you heard me say it off the start. I want to make sure the rules-based part of me obviously wants to make sure that there was authority to carry out this mission. But it seems as if that you can look at this from a few different angles. Now, President Trump, this was really interesting when he talked about authority, and you heard this again on this radio station. I'm going to play this clip. It's only about a minute long. He refers to the Monroe Doctrine, but he also talks about basically other entities like Iran coming into Venezuela and using that as a missile launching pad for the United States. Now, he talked about it on that first day, but we haven't heard a lot about it since. This is what Donald Trump had to say.
Furthermore, under the now deposed dictator Maduro, Venezuela was increasingly hosting foreign adversaries in our region and acquiring menacing offensive weapons that could threaten U.S. interests and lives. And they used those weapons last night. They used those weapons last night, potentially in league with the cartels operating along our border. All of these actions were in gross violation of the core principles of American foreign policy, dating back more than two centuries, and not anymore. All the way back, it dated to the Monroe Doctrines, and the Monroe Doctrine is a big deal, but we've superseded it by a lot, by a real lot. They now call it the Donroe Document, I don't know. It's Monroe Doctrine. We sort of forgot about it. It was very important, but we forgot about it. We don't forget about it anymore. Under our new national security strategy, American dominance in the Western Hemisphere will never be questioned again.
Okay, so that was an interesting clip from Donald Trump. I'm going to take a break, but we'll come back. I'm going to grab more of your calls. I'm going to jump into your texts here in a second as well. You know, the United States must be considered to be under attack for them to, in many ways, get the military involved in an operation like this. Were they under armed attack? They were definitely being affected by narco-terrorism, the number of drugs coming into the country. I mean, what you're hearing the U.S. administration say, 25,000 people being killed by the drugs that were coming into the country. I mean, we're talking big numbers. And then in that statement right there, Donald Trump is saying, well, and other foreign actors were setting up weapons in Venezuela that were also a threat to the United States, but we haven't heard them talk about that a whole lot. Let's take our break. Let's come back and let's get more of your thoughts. Open lines until 10 o'clock here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
It was an incredible thing to see. Not a single American service member was killed, and not a single piece of American equipment was lost. We had many helicopters, many planes, many people involved in that fight. If you would have seen what I saw last night, you would have been very impressed. I'm not sure that you'll ever get to see it.
Welcome back to the show, Evan Brigg. Great to have you here. Monday morning, as we do not ease into 2026, we jump in with 2 feet, and we're talking about what's going on between the United States and Venezuela, and the text line has been abuzz. Roy from Rockford with a note here saying, and I like this text because he's saying what a lot of people are saying. Roy says, I do not like Trump. I never have. He's a loose cannon. But I do like his kick-ass methods of getting things done. Like, there's a lot of people that are struggling with this. Because if Trump had said in the news conference, here's what we did. We went in and got Maduro, and it was a flawless operation. Here's the legal authority that we did it. And our goal is to restore a just democracy in Venezuela while keeping America safe so that foreign entities like Iran aren't putting weapons in Venezuela that could be harmful to our country. And left it at that, I don't think there would be as much confusion. But Donald Trump didn't articulate the grounds, the lawful authority they had to do it. He didn't articulate it very well. And he made it all about oil. Like, there was no debating what the priority was for Donald Trump. He made it all about oil. That's Donald Trump. This is not, like, for me, this is not you like Trump or you don't like Trump. This is based on what happened. And listen, this sort of thing, the fact that I saw a couple of texts here, Lillian with a text saying, how come he didn't get congressional approval? Don't kid yourself. Barack Obama didn't get congressional approval to go kill Osama bin Laden. No. I can already hear people jumping through the radio saying, how can you compare the attack that we saw on 9/11 on the United States with what is going on in Venezuela? All I'm saying is the narrow point of not having congressional approval, many presidents have done that before, right? You need congressional approval essentially to start a war. You don't, though, to execute a military operation. Back when Barack Obama was president, they invaded Libya and they didn't have congressional approval. Gaddafi was killed. I mean, there's lots of different examples, and that's just with one president. So we can go back over history and say none of it is exactly parallel, but there are other cases. Panama is a really good one with Manuel Noriega. We all remember that in the late 80s. Now, maybe in that case, there was more attempts at negotiation. Maybe there was a longer kind of timeline of exacerbating other options before going in and making the arrest. I've seen people suggest that as well. Brian from Regina says, most of the communist lefties here in Canada deny that any Venezuelan people are happy about what happened. You can't deny Venezuelan people, not all. But boy, the ones that I see are celebrating by the thousands in our country, in the United States. He was not a good guy. Nicolas Maduro, not a good guy. He's, by the way, indicted on 4 counts. Narco-terrorism conspiracy, cocaine importation conspiracy, possession of machine guns and destructive devices, and conspiracy to possess machine guns and destructive devices. So, he's facing the same charges as an earlier indictment that was brought against him in Manhattan federal court in 2020. So, this guy had to go. Was this the way it should have unfolded? Is maybe a good question, and that's where we're looking for your thoughts. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of text pouring in. It's really simple. China and Russia were taking control of Venezuela. Venezuela has lots of oil. Energy wins wars. We've been at war for years. Thanks for the text on the text line. No name attached to that one. Okay, let's take our break. More of your texts, and I know I've got a couple of phone calls lined up as well. We will go back to the phone lines here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
We are going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition. Under our new national security strategy, American dominance in the Western Hemisphere will never be questioned again.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of mixed messages in some of the statements Donald Trump has said. He just talked about the safe transition of power. But he didn't really give a glowing endorsement to the fellow that actually won the last election in Venezuela, this Edmundo Gonzalez, who, by the way, is basically right-hand helper, is Maria Machado, who won the Nobel Peace Prize this year, who dedicated a part of that Nobel Peace Prize to President Donald Trump for his efforts in trying to liberate Venezuela from the dictatorship that they've been under. Maduro, too many different names, over the last little while. Hey, by the way, that indictment that Trump acted on to arrest Maduro, this is just a little sub fact, but it was actually issued under President Biden. Maduro was a human rights abuser, a murderer, starved his own people. It's tragic what he did in his own country, which is why you see expatriated Venezuelans here in Canada and the United States celebrating by the thousands that this guy has been arrested. Now, the ulterior motive? Yeah, it's oil, it's money, it's control, it's power, it's all of those things when it comes to Donald Trump. Did they have the legal authority for it? Don't forget, we're bringing a legal expert in a little bit later. I've actually also got a couple of political analysts coming in to talk about this just after 10 o'clock. So we've got lots yet to go, but I do want to hear your thoughts. 1-877-332-8255. Mike with a message saying, like it or not, it's an eat or get eaten world. And our adversaries disguised as diversity don't play by the same rule books. Therefore, we have to take exceptional action when needed to protect our sovereignty. Because we've had such a weak run of governments, we've allowed other nations to infiltrate us, our economy, and socially, we need strong men to do hard things so soft men can sleep comfortably in their beds. Mike, 1-877-332-8255. John, on the other hand, from Saskatoon, says every time Donald Trump opens his mouth, all I can think of is a kindergarten kid speaking. He's such an inarticulate moron. Roy in Rockford with another text. Greenland drugs, here we go. Doesn't Canada send drugs to the United States? Are we next? I mean, I think that's one of the many tentacles that comes from this is, does this set a precedent? What do you think? Was this a good move by the U.S.? Do you support the move by the United States to arrest Maduro out of Venezuela? 1-877-332-8255. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. Give me a call or shoot me a text. We've had a couple of problems on our phone line. I'm hoping we'll get those corrected up, but I would love to hear your thoughts. Shoot me a text and let me know your thoughts. I know there's a few people. This is not the only thing going on in the world right now. And I do know that there are a few people wanting to talk about other things that are going on. Colleen from Buena Vista saying, will you be mentioning the breaking news about Chrystia Freeland and her new job, Vladimir Zelensky's new financial advisor? Just reading her text here. After we send another $2.5 billion to Ukraine, and now our former and failed Deputy Minister of Finance is going to be advising the President of Ukraine. You can't make this stuff up. Colleen worked up about that. Yeah, some people worked up about that. I am seeing a lot of people down in the mouth about what's happened with the World Juniors. I know there's been a few texts coming in frustrated with, are those goalposts thicker than normal? I like that text, Dave. Thanks for the text. I don't know if they're thicker than normal, but boy, we hit a few of them, didn't we, last night? Gosh, tough loss to Czechia last night. And World Juniors Team Canada will be playing for the bronze today against Finland. That's a 3:30 game, so the Green Zone will be keeping you up to date on that. And we'll check in with the Green Zone a little bit later on this morning. You know, we talked briefly this morning, and coming up after 10, we'll talk more about Canada's response to the U.S. military operation in Venezuela. Prime Minister Mark Carney, pretty safe messaging is what he has given out on this. He had really did not go out on a limb. And I did see and was watching on the weekend, they did an interview with Peter McKay, the former foreign affairs minister, on Carney's statement. This is what Peter McKay had to say about that.
Well, quite frankly, the statement, I think, has been interpreted in many quarters as being quite weak. While it does reiterate statements that have been made in the past about respecting the rule of law and looking forward to seeing a transition in Venezuela and the people of Venezuela being supported, it glosses over entirely the fact that it was the United States that brought this about. Not an ideal situation, to be sure, but now the opportunity exists. And quite frankly, the foreign minister made a similar statement. I think Of greater note is the fact that it came 15 or 16 hours after the actual arrest of Maduro. This is, again, a very slow and lethargic reaction and reflective of a foreign policy that was ambivalent, waiting to see how other countries reacted. And so I don't think it has put Canada in a particularly good place with the United States or our traditional allies.
So again, that's Peter McKay is speaking on Prime Minister Mark Carney's statement. Now, many people are saying, you know what, this statement needed to be carefully crafted in a way that didn't further hurt the relationship between Canada and the United States. So he had to be very cautious about what he said. I've seen a couple people on the text line with that thought. I want to go back to the phone line. We've got a couple of calls coming in. I'm going to grab this call from Daniel on the road today. Daniel, appreciate you calling. Happy New Year. What are your thoughts? Was this a good move by the United States?
Yeah, I agree. It's a good move. And I just want to throw in a quick compliment on how it's nice to, as I travel, that this talk show is showing two sides of the story, and very refreshing. So thank you for that.
Good stuff, Daniel. Thanks. And so you support the move. You think what they did, this is a step in the right direction?
Yeah, I think it's good. You know, there's more than one country that probably this could happen, but this is a good judgment, I think, in doing it, and great execution and in the outcome. So.
Good stuff, Daniel. Well, thanks for calling and thanks for listening. Speaking of people we would love to hear from on this, wouldn't you love to know what General Rick Hillier, Canada's former chief of defense staff, thinks about this? Well, he's joining us at 8:30 tomorrow morning. We tried to get him for today. It was a busy day for him, a travel day for him, actually, so he wasn't able to join us. But we do have him first thing tomorrow morning, so I'm looking forward to that. Let's go to Cal. Happy 2026, Cal. How are you?
I'm excellent. And then yourself?
Not too bad. I'm glad to be back, feeling a lot better, and we got lots to talk about. What do you think of this whole move by the U.S. in Venezuela?
Well, I mean, Evan, we all knew it was coming. I mean, the whole build-up thing, and the thing about Trump that a lot of people, of course, they're Trump derangement. They don't like him anyway. But the other thing they don't like about him is the fact that he makes decisions and he actually comes through on those decisions. And we knew something was going to happen there. And so I was surprised, of course, but not completely surprised he was going to go there. You've got China trying to get their fingers into Venezuela, the same thing with Panama. And you can bet that that sort of thing is, he's aware of that with Canada. China has its fingers in Canada. So, I mean, I'm not one of these people that thinks that we're going to get invaded and taken over, but he's sending out a message. You know, Trump's famous, what is his acronym? FAFO, right?
I don't know if I know that acronym. Can it be said on the radio?
I can't say it on the radio.
Yeah, I know where you're going. It ends with find out, right?
Find out.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the point is that Trump tells people what he's going to do. Yeah. You know, like the Iranians, he gave them 60 days, and on day 61, he bombed them. So he tells you what he's going to do, and he does it. And that sort of thing it bothers people. And, of course, our government, so tepid in their response, because they know that they are Chinese-influenced, and they know that this kind of thing really bothers the U.S.
You know, if you think about, yeah, thanks for that, by the way. I think it's fool around and find out. Is that what it is? Fool around and find out? If you think about Iran, the bombing in Iran that the United States did just a while back, I saw a report on the weekend kind of referring to that as a hit and run compared to what this is. This could be a lot longer, could be a lot more protracted. I mean, Donald Trump is saying they're going to stay in the country. They're going to run the country until the kind of the handoff, the natural handoff of power occurs within the country. Now, I mean, they want to stay there to work on oil assets. There's no doubt about that. So this could be a lot more protracted. This could be a lot more expensive for the United States. And there's lots of sticky parts of this, and how this is going to impact our industry in Canada is something that we are going to be talking about as well. I've got Paul Martin coming up a little bit later on this morning. We got Brian Zinchuk later this week. And as always, I look forward to hearing more from you. 1-877-3-0-3-0-3. 332-8255. I got some texts I want to get to, but let's take our next break. And when we come back, we will continue with open lines here on 650 CKOM 980 CJS.
Start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Oh, the times they are changing.
As everyone knows, the oil business in Venezuela has been a bust, a total bust for a long period of time. We're going to have our very large United States oil companies, the biggest anywhere in the world, go in, spend billions of dollars, fix the badly broken infrastructure, and start making money for the country.
Our adversaries remain on notice. America can project our will anywhere, anytime.
Oh, the times they are a-changing.
That's an interesting thought. You know, Donald Trump just said the large American oil companies will fix the infrastructure and get the oil flowing again in Venezuela. Will they? You know, that, I mean, that's a big, number one, it's a big cost. It's not happening overnight. We're talking probably a decade. And is that same volatility in terms of government and democracy going to be a threat going forward? Is this everlasting change to a peaceful and just democracy in Venezuela, or is this temporary? I mean, keep in mind, we haven't changed anything yet. The vice president's running the show in Venezuela. Tom in Saskatoon with a text saying Trump's motivation is always, always, always about money, hence his interest in resources. There's no altruistic motivation in anything Trump does. If Venezuela had limited resources, we would have not had this invasion. Same for Greenland and Trump's babble. 1-877-332-8255. I want to go to the phone line. Ken in Estevan. Happy New Year, Ken. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
That's good. What do you think? Was this a good move?
This was a really good move. It's going to show a lot of the drug dealers that they finally got somebody that's going to stand up to them. Take them out, like they did them drug boats. The liberals are all whining, but how come the liberals aren't whining about the drugs in Canada? Are they making too much money off the drugs? They need to stand up. Canada needs to wake up because we're right next door, and if Trump walked in here, I'm pretty sure most of the West would stand up and help him drive across the roads and tell him where to go. But it's not good that they invaded him, but they're showing him that they've got to start taking the world back from the drug dealers, communism, because this is just the beginning of communism. Like they're saying, China and all them guys are sitting in there. Well, China's sitting in Canada already.
And you know, Ken, it was interesting when Donald Trump on the weekend made the statement about there are other countries, and he didn't say Iran specifically, but since then I've read reports that, you know, Iran was using Venezuela as a potential positioning point, a land anchor, if you will, to set up maybe some weaponry. Those are things that I think we should be hearing more about. I mean, what we're hearing about from Donald Trump is oil. Well, I know that he's interested in oil, but I'm also interested to know that if that was a true threat to North America, if Venezuela was becoming a place where they were setting up rockets and missiles from Iran, well, then we need to know more about that. Trump hinted at it as part of the justification as to why this needed to happen, but we didn't hear great details on that for sure. 1-877-332-8255. Donna from Wadena says the problem is Hegseth also continued to say that the Western Hemisphere is theirs for the taking now. All countries should be on alert, were his words. This regime is a loose cannon. This kidnapping was transactional and a distraction. Yes, Maduro is a narco, but so is Hernandez, and he received a full pardon. Yeah, Donna's point is well taken. The former president of Honduras, Juan Orlando Hernandez, was extradited to the United States in 2022, convicted on drug-related charges, sentenced to 45 years in prison, and pardoned by Donald Trump in December. That's the problem. Isn't this the problem with this topic? I mean, there's just so many avenues. What we're going to do, we've still got lots of talk on the show about this. I'm looking forward to having Jeremy Paul join us. He's a U.S. constitutional law professor from Northeastern University, so we'll have him on. I saw him quoted in an article that I read this weekend from the Globe and Mail. We've got a couple of political analysts from our province here to talk about the reaction we saw from the Prime Minister and the federal government in Canada. We'll talk about that next. And, of course, more opportunity to always to hear from you here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.